If you've had a moment that you've been able to see on Facebook or our website, there is a letter that comes to us from our ELCA presiding bishop. I want to share that with you today because our focus this day is on a day of mourning and repentance, and it's in response to the events that occurred a little over a week ago with our brothers and sisters in Charleston, South Carolina. So I want to take a few moments as you get your hearts and thoughts together to hear these words of our presiding bishop as she reaches out to the congregations in which she is shepherd. It's been a long season of disquiet in our country, from Ferguson to Baltimore, simmering racial tensions that boiled over into violence. But this, the fatal shooting of 9 African Americans in a church, is a stark, raw manifestation of the sin that is racism. The church was desecrated. The people of that congregation were desecrated. The aspiration voiced in the Pledge of Allegiance that we are one nation under God was desecrated. Mother Emmanuel, African Methodist Episcopal pastor, the Reverend Clementa Pinckney, was a graduate of the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, as was the Reverend Daniel Simmons, associate pastor at Mother Emmanuel. The suspected shooter is a member of an ELCA congregation, and all of a sudden, for all of us, this is an intensely personal tragedy. One of our own is alleged to have shot and killed 2 who adopted us as their own. We might say that this was an insulated act by a deeply disturbed man, but we know that it is not the whole truth. It is not an isolated event. And even if the shooter was unstable, the framework upon which he built his vision of race is not. Racism is, in fact, in American culture. Denial and avoidance of this fact are deadly. Pastor Pinckney leaves a wife and children. The other 8 victims leave grieving families. The family of the suspected killer and 2 congregations are broken. When will this end? The 9 dead in Charleston are not the first innocent victims killed by violence. Our only hope rests in the innocent one who was violently executed on Good Friday. Emmanuel, God with us, carried our grief and sorrow, the grief and sorrow of Mother Emmanuel, AME's church, and he was wounded for our transgressions, the deadly sin of racism. I urge all of us to spend a day in repentance and mourning, and then we need to get to work. Each of us and all of us need to examine ourselves, our church, and our communities. We need to be honest about the reality of racism within and around us. We need to talk and we need to listen, but we also need to act. No stereotype or racial slur is justified. Speak out against the inequity. Look with newly opened eyes at the many subtle and overt ways that we in our communities see people of color as being less of less worth. And above all, for insight, pray. Pray for forgiveness and for courage. Kyrie eleison, the Reverend Elizabeth A. Eaton, presiding bishop of the ELCA. So today we join our brothers and sisters throughout this country and throughout this world as we pray as a day of mourning and repentance. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand as you are able to face the cross and the baptismal font for our opening prayer for forgiveness. The contents of this prayer are provided by Bishop Eaton and will not be found in your bulletin, so I invite you to just listen and pray along in your hearts and in your souls. Gracious God, we thank you for making one human family of all the peoples of the earth and for creating all the wonderful diversity of peoples and cultures throughout the world. Enrich our lives by ever-widening circles of fellowship and friendship, and show us your presence in those who differ from us. Lord, for the racism which denies dignity to those who are different, Lord, we ask, forgive us. And the congregation responds, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the racism which recognizes prejudice in others, and never in ourselves, Christ, forgive us. And the congregation responds, Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. For the racism which will not recognize the work of your Spirit in other cultures, Lord, forgive us. And the congregation responds, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, your love is unconditional. You show no partiality in respect to people or nations. You are a God of good news and of great joy for all people. We hear your good news, and in hearing we believe. And we know that your sanctuary is a house of worship for all people, with no regard for the color of skin. As we worship you, Lord, knit us into a people, a seamless garment of many colors. By your Spirit, help us to celebrate our unity made whole in our diversity. Forgive us our inability to let our old selves die. We acknowledge that we participate in structures that are inherently racist, and yet we do nothing to remedy it. Show us when we fail, and show us how to change, so that your kingdom may be made whole in this earth. And all God's people say, Amen. Let us follow the cross as we begin our opening song. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the creator of wind and rain, field and ocean, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world. Amen. We pray together the prayer given to us on this day of mourning and repentance. Let us pray. Almighty God, we lift our prayers to you in this time of conflict. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Do not let us fail in the face of these events. Uphold us with your love and give us the strength we need. Help us in our confusion and guide our action. Heal the hurt, console the bereaved and afflicted, protect the innocent and helpless, and deliver any who are still in peril. For the sake of your great mercy in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Congregation, may please be seated as we collect our quiet offering in support of our partners in ministry, Lutheran Social Services. And I invite you to take this quiet time now as well to prepare your hearts to receive Christ in the Scripture.
Our first reading comes to us from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at a point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, and she had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed by her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And while he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they had said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. And then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about, for she was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. And he strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I'll invite our children to come up and join me up here. Come on up. I'm going to have you stand because we're going to do a song together. Actually, I don't think I'm going to sit down. I'm going to just stand here. How are you? Come on up. Come on up. You can stand up here. Actually, I'm going to want the congregation to join us as well. We do have the words, correct, Jonathan? Okay. Okay, I'm going to teach you some motions. These are very simple, okay? And it goes like this. I am the church. Can you do that? I am the church. Come on, you can do that. I am the church. There you go. You are the church. We are the church together. all who follow Jesus, and we're going to make a shepherd's crook to represent Jesus, all who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, can you shake your head? Yes. Yes, we're the church together, okay? All right, let's try it, okay? You guys, everybody can join me in singing here, okay? Ready? We're going to try to sing this. I am the church. Okay, got to do the motions, though. Okay, ready? Here we go. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Got it? Okay, this is how the verse goes. Yeah, you got to listen on this one. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. Ready? Here we go. I am the church. You are the church. Yet are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Now we got to listen again. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. Ready? Here we go. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Okay, one more. And when the people gather, there's singing and there's praying, there's laughing and there's crying, sometimes all of it saying, here we go. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. Very good. You did a great job. Thank you for helping me today. For those of you who are going to Children's Church, we'll have you go over here. The rest of you can return to your families. Thank you, sir. And a special thank you to Pastor Aaron to help me out on these motions.
Camp counselor.
Camp counselor. There you go.
They're rioting in Africa. They're starving in Spain. There's hurricanes in Florida. And Texas needs rain. The whole world is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans hate the Poles. Italians hate Yugoslavs, South Africans hate the Dutch. And I don't like anybody very much. But we shall be thankful and tranquil and proud. For man's been endowed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. And we know for certain that some lovely day someone will set the spark off and we will all be blown away. They're rioting in Africa. There's strife in Iran. What nature does and do to us will be done by our fellow man.
If you didn't recognize the group, it was the Kingston Trio that sung this song probably a good 50 years ago. It's amazing how those words can come into play even today. As I'm speaking, and I'm not sure how well this side was going to be able to see through Mount Everest over here, but we will have some slides that we'll be going through in our sharing of today's message. So if you want to go ahead and start that, please do that. So we speak a little bit about racism. Racism is really about the idea that we are, that one people is better than others. We subjugate others, and through power, we make that known. So And I know most of us don't really want to hear the fact that we're racist, but the problem is we are. Whether we might say, oh, I'm not racist, I don't do that. You'll be surprised at the fact that because we see things in a different way than what our brothers and sisters from other cultures see it, it makes us racist. How many of you are ageist? Does anybody know if you're an ageist? You know what an ageist is? An ageist is one who makes assumptions that older people are a certain way. Okay, and I learned this when I was serving as a chaplain in a long-term care facility and had to go through certain things to learn about what it's like to get old. Now, I'm already realizing that, believe me. But the thing is, how many of you get frustrated when you're walking behind an older person who's kind of shuffling along? You know, maybe you're at the mall and there's kind of a whole crowd of people and there's two elderly people kind of, you know, they're holding hands with each other and they're walking really slow and you want to get kind of moving and you feel like saying, come on, grandma and grandpa, let's get going, you know? Or somebody who's driving, you know, that doesn't even seem like they can barely see up over the dashboard. You know, we have this thoughts about, you know, old people are slow. Well, there's a reason why some older people are slow. It's because as they are not able to see as clearly in front of them, they're not so sure of their steps, or their balance could be off, or the fact of the matter is that their feet hurt, and what they do is they have to shuffle to make sure they're in each step and where they're going. But we don't see that. All we see are some slow people who are just taking their doggone old time, and we want to say, come on, get out of the way. Or how many of you, when you see somebody that is not able to see, when grandma and grandpa's eyes grow dim, or they may even become blind, or you may have even witnessed this, watching this go on, but people talk loud to them, you know, what are you doing? They're blind, they're not deaf. But that's what we do. We do that. We automatically assume that all older people are deaf, and therefore we speak loud to them. And you're probably hurting a lot of your parents' and grandparents' ears by doing that. And how many of us grow weary of listening to the complaints about when they go into the nursing home about, you know, that things aren't, they want to go home. We don't want to hear that. We want to just say, this is a good place for you to be, mom and dad. This is a good place for you to be, grandma and grandpa. And it may be something that's necessary, but the fact of the matter that we're not sensitive to the fact that they have suffered a huge amount of loss. The loss of mobility, the idea that their body is not doing what they were able to do, the loss of freedom of movement, the fact that their cars have been taken away from them, that they can't just get in the car and go and they have to be dependent upon other people, the loss of their eyesight or their senses. And you see, what happens is we become very insensitive to that. And we don't realize that until we find ourselves in that same situation. Now, I'm not trying to equate being an ageist as the same as being a racist, but you see how it's so easy to just kind of fall into a pattern of not realizing the needs of our brothers and sisters who are older. But when we do that, when it comes to color of our skin, when we do that when it comes to cultures, because of our ignorance or our misunderstanding or our assumptions, then we fall into that category of being a racist. And I will be the first to admit that I am. I am. I have been born into a culture of privilege. I don't have to worry about the fact that when I go to a polling booth, I can vote. I can, nobody's going to question me. I don't have to worry about being pulled over because of the color of my skin. I don't have to worry about the fact that I can live where I choose as long as I can financially afford it. That's not the case with our brothers and sisters. And do you remember a few weeks ago when I said we are family? We are family. We are family, and therefore we need to begin to become aware of what's going on around us. And it's not enough just to simply say, oh, how terrible those things are that happened in South Carolina. The fact of the matter is that it's shocking, it's disturbing. Ever since this has occurred, ever since this moment that this has happened, it's been unsettling to me, and I grapple with it, and I can't come to understanding it, and it makes me angry, and it makes me sad. And I don't understand how people can be so filled with rage and with hatred for someone because of color. These are our brothers and sisters. They are our family. We are together. We're the church together. And yet somehow, some people don't see that. They use the scriptures to justify their feelings of superiority, or they use the scriptures to justify the fact that back in the 1800s, slavery, this is the way that those who proposed to have slavery used scriptures for that. Scriptures have been used to subjugate women. Scriptures have been used to place certain people in roles of privilege. And I don't hear Jesus saying any of that. In fact, if anything, he says to the twins who come up to him and say, you know, Jesus, we want to be at your left and right hand. And Jesus says, well, that's not up for me to decide. And, you know, then the other disciples get kind of all bummed out about this, and they start talking about it. And soon Jesus has this discontented group, and it's all because of certain people think that they should have the privilege. Money cannot buy us a family. Places of power and position will not put us where Jesus wants us. Truly, God shows no partiality. And we hear that in our gospel reading for today as we listen about Jesus and meeting with Jairus, the head of the synagogue, and then the woman who was bleeding. Two very different people. One who would never have been considered untouchable because she was bleeding. Secondly, because of the culture, women and men did not communicate with each other. They did not touch in public either. And Jairus comes, and Jairus represents the leadership of the temples, of the high places. These are the people that are wanting to put Jesus to death because of what he's proclaiming, that people are saying he's the Son of God, that he is the one who speaks of love instead of law. And Jairus comes knowing that he's the only one that can help his daughter. And in the process, we have this whole story of the woman. And the woman breaks the culture bounds by touching the hem of his robe, and she is made whole the moment she does that. And suddenly, everything that she had been, that she was alienated from her family and community, that she was not able to live a life that would be considered normal in those days because of her disease, suddenly all that has changed. And she's made whole. And when Jesus asks, who touches me, she grows fearful because she's afraid because of what she's done with concerning the culture. And Jesus just says, go, your faith has made you well. Today has to be the beginning. Today, are we not forgiven? Yes. Today, are we not loved by God? Yes. Today, are we not brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes. Today, do we recognize that we do not have to be all the same? And thank goodness that we are not, because this world would be so boring. I wouldn't want a billion of me around. I'd find that to be exactly just horrific. And sometimes when I look at my sons, I see myself and I go crazy. We are each individuals. We are each created in God's image. And each one of these brothers and sisters who lost their life because of someone who thought their color made them not worthy to be in God's family. These are God's children. They are my brothers and sisters. And I cannot stand and allow for this to continue. I ask you, this goes across. This is not about politics. This is not about whether we're from the north or the south. This is not about being from Michigan or wherever else. This is about being Christian. And I ask you today to join me in making a difference, to extend the love of God that has been given to us, and to be able to look to each other with trust and with the love of God. May we go in peace, and may we serve the Lord together as one. Amen.
I ask you to stand as you're able. For our hymn of the day today, we are going to learn a new song together. It's very simple. And I will teach it to you by singing through the first verse and chorus myself, and then I'll invite you and we'll sing through it again together.
Let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, you may be seated.
You know, and you guys are the best. You guys are the best. You guys are my family. When I see you, you see me on the street. We email, Facebook. You're my family. The stuff that we saw that happened, you know, this last week was nothing from here or anybody like this. Don't ever think that. You guys are my family. This is the best place in the world. I tell people, I refer people to come here all the time. But that's how I see you guys. I don't see any race. I don't see any color. I just see you guys, my family, all you guys, all your kids that grew up with me and the kids that come to play the drums and everything. So thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you guys. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have done this, but no. God bless you.
Let us pray for the Lord Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
O God, you made us in your image and redeemed us through Jesus your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and the hatred that infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And through our struggle and confusion, work to accomplish your purposes on earth, so that in your good time, every people and nation may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy One, you do not distance yourself from the pain of your people, but in Jesus, you bear that pain with all who suffer at others' hands. With your cleansing love, bring healing and strength to the people of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church of Charleston, South Carolina. And by your justice, lift them up, that in body, mind, and spirit, they may again rejoice. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Out of the darkness, we cry to you, O Lord. Enable us to find in Christ the faith to trust your care, even in the midst of pain. Assure us that we do not walk alone through the valley of the shadow, but that your light is leading us into life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, where hearts are fearful and constricted, grant courage and hope. Where anxiety is infectious and widening, grant peace and reassurance. Where impossibilities close every door and window, grant imagination and resistance. Where distrust twists our thinking, grant healing and illumination. Where spirits are daunted and weakened, grant soaring wings and strengthened dreams. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the families who grieve loss of loved ones who have been murdered in this senseless tragedy in Charleston, South Carolina. And we pray, rest eternal grant these saints, O God, as they rest in you. We await the day when this world will know of your great shalom, and all your saints will be gathered with you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of wholeness, we now lift up to you by name those in our congregation and friends who have specific needs this week. Sandra Breck, Ladine Compton, Lars Hellenius, Cliff and May Cortman, Cindy Weaver Mayer, Mark Ostrowski, Ron and Ray Pooley, Michelle Sin, Tom and Mary Van Portfleet, and Jenny McCrut, and Chris Webster. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we remember also Pastor Matthew Ryak in his ministry in South Sudan, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, Bishop Craig Satterley, assistants to the bishop, Pastor Sarah Friesian Caper and Pastor David Sprang, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Kalamazoo. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We also remember those serving in the military, Taylor Ahn, Kelly Walker, and Melissa and David Valentino. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Lord, we lift up in prayer the family of Vera Reese, Al Powell's sister, who died on June 10th. May her family experience God's comfort and peace at this time of sorrow. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
And Lord, now we lift up to you the prayers of our community, both those spoken out loud and those in the quiet of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. On Easter morning, Jesus stood, well, not on Easter morning, I guess it was midday evening. He stood amongst his disciples at any rate, and he said, "Peace be with you." And we share Jesus' peace with one another now, so please stand. May the peace of the Lord be with you all. Now share the peace.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing.
Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give God thanks, especially for this meal, where Christ himself welcomes people of every nation and language and race and tribe and ethnicity. For on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." I invite you to join your hands and your hearts now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. And I invite you to remain hand in hand as you hear Christ's invitation to his table. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Come to the table, taste and see that the Lord is good. Congregation may be seated. And I'd like to invite up our communion assistants to gather here behind the altar table. You can just line up right there. Kristen, the body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Wise and generous God, we thank you that at this holy table, you have fed us again with the food of everlasting life.
Send us with your blessing to seek the good of our neighbor and call others to our feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation, you may be seated. A minute for God's mission. I'd like to invite up all of our Vacation Bible School servants for a blessing. Please come stand right here on the wooden chancel. The whole team, everybody, come on down. You stand up here. Now, this is a congregational effort. I like it. I want there to be not enough room. This is good. Come on, Jim. You're just supporting. Okay. I just want to say how wonderful it is to be doing this with you all, and what a blessing it is to our congregation and our community. So let us pray. Got to find the right prayer. There we go. Almighty God, your Holy Spirit equips the church with a variety of gifts. May your Spirit so move in us that we might use those gifts to bear witness to Christ in the lives of all of those young people, all the servants who are gathering for Vacation Bible School here at St. Luke's. Make us ready to live the gospel and eager to do your will, ready to proclaim the good news that you love us unconditionally, that you love all people. Give us the power to share with all your church the joys of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Thank you, everyone. You may go. Yay, we can clap for them. Now I'd like to invite up the Spencer family, Scott and Becky and their son, whose name is escaping me right at this moment, Chris. Chris there will be heading to the Dominican Republic to serve there in teaching and with youth. Yes?
The main thing we're going to do this year that we've done the past few years, there is no food.
Just keep talking.
Okay.
There is no food.
There is no food. When we go to our cupboard and we say, there is nothing to eat.
Huh.
Literally, there's not a grain of rice. Scott Spencer said this year, every one of our 25 families, thanks to Thrivin, will have beans, rice, hopefully eggs when we leave. But we plant seeds. I've been saving K-cups. We're going to help them grow their own food. We've done it every year with mixed success, but this year we're hitting it hard, right, guys? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks of it. Also, there's one other person going with us, Stephanie Tucker, so I want her included in our prayers. But they have the fertility of the ground, they have the warmth and the water. They just don't have seeds, so we're bringing them.
All right.
We're planting seeds.
Planting seeds, literally and figuratively.
That's going to be my theme for my VBS.
Wonderful.
And your sermon is going to be part of it. The one, remember Mark a couple weeks ago?
Oh, great.
See, he's going with me.
Okay. Well, we all go with you, and our prayers go with you, so let us pray for the Spencers. Chris, and who's your friend?
Stephanie.
Let's pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to yourself. We praise and bless you for those whom you send to witness in word and deed among the nations. Bless these your servants in the work that you have called them to do, so that they may faithfully accompany those whom they are sent to. Show your love to all people and glorify your name through them, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's give them a hand too. I invite you to take those goldenrod sheets out and fill those out if you get a chance. Question to ask yourself, where is God calling you to rest? Please do drop those off. You can give them to me, or you can drop them in the office or in the offering plate, because we'd love to hear about where is God calling you to rest. You're all invited to the VBS picnic down in the Celebration Center immediately following worship. Please do come. That is a congregational event. And with that, make sure that when you leave, you help stack the chairs. We're going to stack up all the chairs when we leave so that Vacation Bible School, the sanctuary, is a bare floor. We'll be stacking chairs over there, and some of the chairs are already stacked over there, but we're going to stack some over there. So make sure you stack your chair at least, and we're going to need a whole bunch of folks to stack a bunch more. So stay for that. Finally, the women's ministry team is going to be having a summer reading group meeting August 4th at 7 p.m. They're going to read about Catherine von Bora, the wife of Martin Luther, who started her life out as a nun. So it's quite an interesting story. The book is called Kitty, My Rib. That's what Marty called his dear wife, Kitty. So please check that out. You can find out more details in your happenings. Any other announcements for the good of God's mission? Please stand. Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.